Hey everyone, welcome to Corner Flags. So today we'll be heavily focusing on the World Cup. Women's World Cup started finally. We're very excited for that, and there it is. And then we'll still like talk a little bit of like some random news that happened in the football world this week. So yeah, let's get to it. Hey guys, how are you doing today?
We're great.
So great.
Yep.
Wow, so much energy today.
Yes, not tired at all.
All energy, all the time.
So, how are we doing? Ready for the World Cup? Excited about that?
Very excited. Wishing actually would be able to watch a little bit more than I have so far, but planning on doing that over the next few days.
What games did you watch so far?
I saw the opener of France versus Korea, and then I also saw the Norway versus Nigeria game.
But let's start with the opponent then. Like, what did you think of France?
They played well.
Me personally, I thought, you know, the result is obviously what they wanted, but their opponent was very easy for them. I actually didn't think France looked dominant throughout the game. A few players who did play well, but also at times poor decision making by some of the France players. And really what it came down to is their four goals, a lot of them were just a result of horrendous defending by Korea. The defenders just really looking out of place, not marking runs very well, not going up for corners and crosses that were coming into the box, sometimes at all, not attacking the ball at all. And then against a player like Wendy Renard, you know, she's, I think, she's the tallest player in the tournament, aggressive in the air, and it was just too easy for her.
For France, that's what you want, though. It's like, that's impressive. Like, so yes, the other team was really weak, but then they actually have, like, France, they have like this central core that is like very good with like Wendy Renard at centre back, Amandine Henry in the middle, and then Eugenie Lasamer on top, and all of them scored a goal. So it's the perfect start for them in terms of like confidence to go into that tournament.
Yeah, and I think those three players definitely did play well in the game. Henri scored France's fourth goal with a nice curling shot. Renard obviously got two, but was very solid all game. And actually, Lasamer, is that how you say it?
Lasamer
was dropping. I noticed was dropping very deep all game into the midfield to help to maintain possession in the middle. And really, I mean, it was working for them on the first day because Korea generated very little, with the exception of their number 10, who looked a little bit dangerous counterattacking sometimes. Korea really wasn't able to get anything going and was struggling to get the ball. She was turning it over very easily as well.
Because Eugenie, she's like a number 9, but she's more like a false 9
false
than
nine.
A real one.
Yeah,
she's
you really saw that in the first game. And so France was in control from beginning to end. You could see in the second half that they kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit, but were never really in any danger. But didn't look as dangerous and clinical as you maybe would have liked them to have looked, thinking about how they're going to have tougher games coming up.
Yeah.
So they're obviously, it's the first game and they can improve as the tournament goes on, as a lot of teams will. But they didn't look as dominant to me as I would have hoped, considering they're one of the contenders.
The one thing that I don't get from South Korea is that, you know, that Wendy Renard is only good. I mean, only good. She's an exceptional player, but she's so good with her head, and no one was marking her in the box. The two goals were like free headers. And that does not make sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even with the height advantage that she has on her goals, I mean, the defenders really didn't try to go to her at all, didn't go up for the ball, didn't even if you're a shorter defender, get in the way of the person's run, right? Try and figure out the spot where they're going to want to jump to meet the ball and get there first and disrupt their jump or their run. The defenders weren't doing that at all, from what I saw. For her, it was like a training session.
Completely agree. One of the other games that happened actually today from one of the favorites was England against Scotland.
That was good.
Yeah, we were really looking forward to that one because that was the opening game at the Euro as well between England and Scotland. And I think England had won 1-0. And Scotland said that they wanted to take their revenge.
They didn't. Spoiler alert. They did not.
No, they did not.
2-1,
right?
It was, 2-1 for England. It was a good game. It was a lot more even than the France-South Korea one, obviously. I think England were the better team. I think they deserve to win.
Penalty or no penalty on the first one?
I think it was a penalty. Like, it wasn't
an aggressive handball, but it definitely changed the flight of the ball. It was like a cross coming in from the right side, and it kind of hit off the defender's arm and kind of went up. So it definitely changed the flight of the ball. The ref went and like looked at it. VAR made the choice. I think it was the right one.
I'm very happy about that they actually included VAR for that World Cup.
Yeah.
Because you could think that for a Women's World Cup where you have less means and less sponsors, they wouldn't include that in it.
Yeah.
I'm very happy that they actually did, because like
we've seen
that it's becoming really good.
It's become a kind of industry standard, which I think is good, and that should translate over to the Women's World Cup as well. So that was good to see.
Very interesting fact, by the way, speaking of the Women's World Cup engagement and like a lot of people watching it and stuff like this, and the national French television did the first game, and it's actually a record breaker in terms of viewers, and I think there was 10 million people watching the game.
Nice.
Excellent.
Which is actually very, very, very good, and it's not even that low compared to the people watching the men's playing.
Yeah.
So the
interest in this one is definitely substantially larger than for any Women's World Cup that we've seen before.
Mm.
There's no question about that, and it's great to see that a lot of people are tuning into all the games.
I think it has been hyped up quite well, too, leading up to the tournament. I saw a lot on different social media platforms advertising the tournament, people saying how it was going to be the best tournament ever. And so I think it's been marketed very well.
I mean, you could also argue it's been marketed to us particularly well.
What do you mean to us?
Like, if you're seeing it on social media, a lot of that is algorithms to make you see it on social media, right? Like,
true. I suppose so. True. I guess I just
we are the target market for a Women's World Cup.
That is true.
If it's going to show up on social media, it would be ours.
Most probably, yes.
I just don't remember at the last World Cup, I guess, seeing as much or maybe as well done advertisements, videos that have been put
together. But I have seen it. I have seen it kind of spreading across larger things. Like, I keep seeing commercials on TSN, which I don't necessarily think I saw last time. So it's getting into these wider markets, which is great. All the Canada women's games are free on TV and to stream for anyone, so that's a really good step for us.
Visa is sponsoring it as well, right? That's what they said,
yep.
That they were investing a lot in it, even though they said that they were not most probably going to make money out of it, but they said that they wanted to invest in it anyway to like show their investment in it.
Yeah, which is a really nice step. They know that they're not going to make the returns this year, but it might in the future.
Yeah,
but I mean, if we're getting 10 million viewership, then maybe they will make their return on investment this year. You never know.
Which I think is the case, because that's what we were talking about also last time, is that how even like big clubs are now, all of them having a women's team and like actually investing in it. So
I'm
all
so
the Premier
personally
clubs,
offended that Manchester United didn't start a ladies team until last year. That like crushes me. But it's fine, because they finally fucking did it.
When can you understand that Chelsea is a better club?
It bugs me because Chelsea and Arsenal have had such good ladies teams for so long, and that is one of my biggest pet peeves.
Well, I mean, United have their ladies team now, and they just got promoted, so everything
is looking
better.
Up. Yeah.
And they are spending money on it as well.
They're spending a lot of money. They have a lot of transfers
players,
this
since
year.
They got promoted, they signing players.
They've signed like three now, I think, that we've talked about.
Yeah.
It's looking good.
So other interesting games that we had Brazil that won today 3-0 against Jamaica. Kind of nice, because it's like, so Brazil has the oldest player in the tournament and the record-breaking number of tournaments with a staggering 7 World Cup for Formiga.
Mm-hmm.
She actually played the whole game.
Makes the rest of us feel very accomplished in our lives so far.
Yep.
So accomplished.
7th World Cup. It was like we were doing the math today. 24 she basically
years.
Started at 17,
mm-hmm.
her first World Cup, and now she's 41.
Mm-hmm.
150 of the players that are in the World Cup were not even born when she started it.
That was 2 years old for her first World Cup.
Yes.
And it's impressive too that she's an outfield player, because when you do see older players, they tend to be goalkeepers, they have a bit more longevity. But for an outfield player to be in her 40s and still performing.
Yeah, because I think for the men's, I think the record is actually 41 from Dinozov, which was the Italian goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it... And it's more impressive. Like, she's not even a defender. She's, like, a creative midfielder.
Yes.
Which actually requires so much energy.
And she got an assist in the first game, I think you were saying, right?
No, actually, no. She didn't get an assist, but she played the whole game.
Okay.
There are definitely... I can think of one male outfield player who was playing until he was 40. But I don't think he wasn't playing in a World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he played forward, too, so it's probably not... It's not the same as being a midfielder. It's not the same intensity.
The midfielder, like, requires, like, so much intensity. It's, like, one of the hardest position in terms of like physicality. So I was very impressed by that. Also, like, it was nice to see Jamaica playing for their first World Cup.
I know. I'm rooting for them.
I'm rooting for them as well. It's gonna be tough, and we saw that like against Brazil.
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna be able to do anything, but like I kind of want them to do something.
It's true. They're in a difficult group, as their luck or non-luck would have it. Even Italy, who maybe is not considered a favorite in that group, I mean, breezed through their qualifying. They qualified automatically after just 7 games, before even finishing all their games, conceding only 4 goals in 7 games.
Well, and the big game just happened right now. Italy actually beat Australia 2-1.
So I think
did they?
Yep.
I think Italy is probably a stronger team than maybe a lot of people have been anticipating. And so when you consider that they're in a group with Brazil, Italy, and Australia, I mean, Jamaica's a great story for being there. It's going to be very difficult for them to accumulate points, though.
Yeah, no, and it's pretty impressive. So like I'm really happy that they are there.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy about that. I was surprised by the Australia Italy, even though Italy is a good team. I was surprised by that result. Sam Kerr did score the goal, which is like considered
one of the best players
in the world.
Yes.
But then Bonanza actually scored a double, and 1 goal at the 90th minute.
Oh,
so
wow!
It is actually quite impressive from them.
Yeah, Sam Kerr, great player. I'm hoping Australia does well, even though I actually chose Italy to finish top of that group, but I'm hoping that Australia does well just so that I can see her play more. Interesting fact, because she's Australian, she plays all year round in both the NWSL and the Australian League because their schedules are different. And she, is, at 25 years old, is the all-time leading scorer in both already. So exceptional player. Really hoping she has a great tournament.
But yeah, but now it's going to be really tough.
She lives a life of permanent summer. Can we talk about that?
Which is probably why she's
from summer
she's
to
so
summer.
Happy all the time. Every time they interview her, she's always joking around and seems like very happy-go-lucky person. But
it's going to be bad. Which team does she play for in North America?
The Chicago Red Stars.
Okay.
So far this year, she has 6 goals in the first 6 matches.
Can we talk about how the women's league is still running while this World Cup is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this doesn't make sense for me because they've been talking about like the Qatar World Cup where they're gonna do it like in December.
Yeah.
But the leagues are gonna stop during those 2 months. For me, the women's league should have made an effort into that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
So that Qatar World Cup would be in December of 2020, or would it be?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not gonna be this December, so it would be December 2020.
No, because it's 2022.
2022.
The World Cup is going to be in 2022, and so it's
going
to be the December 2021. So it's actually not in 2022. But I think the final is on January.
It's Euro 2020. I've lost myself. Okay, so the final is in January 2020.
Two. Yes. And so I think if I'm not mistaken, it's going to start on November 15th. Or something like this, and then.
But the tournament. Oh, because they added more teams for 2022.
No, it has been refused.
Then how are they going to make a longer tournament?
It's always more than a month. Huh? The men's is always a month and a half usually, because they do have more teams than the women. No, it's a month and a half. Because it's a bit longer. Because the group stage, they have 2 more groups than the women, I think.
My mother is going to hate that Christmas.
Yes.
My dad and I are being glued to the goddamn TV.
I wonder how that's going to pan out.
I'm going to be mad. I don't think it's going to be the same watching the World Cup at Christmas. That's going to be weird.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be very weird.
Yeah.
But I will be in Europe, so that's good.
Sure.
But to go back on Sam Kerr. So now just one thing especially like about Australia. What is the next game, Australia? Because if it's against Brazil, it's actually already a 6 points game right now for Australia.
Yeah, I don't actually know when they play Brazil, if it's the next one or the third one. I don't have that in front of me.
Because that's going to be interesting, because, like, I mean, if Australia loses the next game against Brazil, then it's out already. And
yes,
it is Australia-Brazil on June 13th.
Ooh, that's going to be a good game. June.
So
that's next Thursday.
Already a must-win for them.
Yeah, it's a 6 points win.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
So...
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be watching that one.
So we could already see one of the favorites go out in the group stage. Oh, no. But not necessarily, because two of the teams that finish third in the group would actually go
through.
The next.
Actually, 4 out of the 6.
Four out of the six.
Number three teams from the groups will go through.
So there's still a chance. So it's not as important.
Then, because they might like score like 4 or 5 goals against Jamaica.
You would assume that they'll be one of the teams that would go through for third.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not actually not so so bad.
But then giving them a tougher matchup.
Yeah.
In the first knockout game.
Yeah. That's true. Canada is starting tomorrow.
Yeah, it is.
First game for Canada. Against
it's not Norway.
New Zealand.
New Zealand, yes. Yes, against
New Zealand. No, Canada-New Zealand is next weekend. Because it's Saturday next weekend.
That's true. Let me see. We should have done our research better.
Canada plays Cameroon.
We're prepared.
Tomorrow at noon.
Yeah.
Canada against Cameroon.
Argentina and Japan also kick off their campaign. New Zealand plays the Netherlands. Chile will play Sweden on Tuesday. Sorry, New Zealand and the Netherlands will also be on Tuesday. And then the United States will play Thailand on Tuesday.
Yeah, that one I knew. The United States kicks off on Tuesday.
Those are going to be interesting games as well to see.
Canada should win that.
I think Canada should win that. But
yeah.
I mean, maybe not the group, but I mean, I think they should advance to the... But I don't know, it's difficult because New Zealand is
actually
a good
team.
Although,
did you see South Africa got the first goal against Spain yesterday?
Yes.
South Africa were giving Spain a lot of trouble.
They did.
They have a lot of speed.
And for me, there is a lot of controversy on the second penalty. Because it's a weird one. Like, I don't think she intended anything on that kick. And she got a red card because of that as well, which...
I didn't see the second half because we left to go hiking, but I'll go rewatch that.
It was... Honestly, it was debatable. Maybe the penalty, not the red card. For me, never the red card.
Okay.
There was a straight red card on that one. For me, that was too much. But that could have been a big upset already, yeah? Spain losing that game. Even though Spain, I don't think we can consider them as one of the top favorites.
No, they're not. They're not of the same caliber, I would say, as the US or France or Germany. Although Germany only got a 1-0 win.
I was
expecting more from them.
Those are probably the top three teams that you're naming there. But I do think Spain is set up to have a pretty good tournament. They did very well in their qualifying. So they may be like Italy, where they're not one of the big names coming in to the tournament, but
they could be.
I feel like they could play very, very well.
They have a lot of players from Barcelona in that team.
They do.
They do, actually. Most of their team comes from either Barcelona or Atletico Madrid. So there's a lot of cohesiveness on that team, players who play together regularly.
And even though Barcelona lost the Champions League final, they were in the Champions League final. So it shows
they are
a good team.
But just to go back to Spain, from their 8 qualifying matches, they received the maximum 24 points, the only team to do that in qualification, scoring 25 goals and conceding only 2. So they had a very good qualification run.
Their captain is actually the central defender. She's from Paris. She plays in Paris Saint-Germain.
So they could have a surprising tournament. They could be one of the kind of dark horses of the tournament. They go further than maybe a lot of people were expecting.
Yeah, and then having a first game like this where you scared yourself a little bit by going 1 goal behind and then coming back and winning 3-1 could actually be the good start for them.
They are in a difficult group, though. I mean, they have games against Germany and China now. We're both top 20 teams.
Yeah.
So it was good that they got their 3 points, but...
that would have been a silly 3 points for them to lose.
Yeah, and then would have put them in a very precarious spot.
And even though Germany only won by 1 goal, it still is like a good result because it was against China, and China is not an easy team.
No, that's true.
I think they're ranking the top 10 in the world, no?
Top 20.
Top 20 in the
world.
I don't
know the exact
ranking,
but they are top 20.
Top 10 in the world.
I can't remember.
Just to go back to Canada's group quickly, though, I do think
Canada
is one of the favorites to come out, but I think the Netherlands also could be one of those dark horse teams like Spain or Italy.
Especially the wings.
They're the Euro 2017 winners. They also went undefeated in their qualifying. And then if you look at their top three forwards, and obviously it's dependent on whether or not the midfield can get the forwards the ball and good chances, but you're looking at, you know, Martins, Vivian Medina, Van der Sanden, and that's a top three that, you know, could basically rival the States with their top three as well. So scoring goals may not be a problem for them.
I agree. But it's good for Canada that they actually stand by Cameroon then.
Yeah,
because it might give them like an easy way into
the
World
Cup.
They
build up to the Netherlands because they're doing Cameroon, New Zealand, Netherlands.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually probably perfect.
She's actually a perfect start for
but
them.
Perfect
yeah.
for the Netherlands as well.
Well yes, but New Zealand is not going to be that easy to beat though. If they could, you
New
could
Zealand
have an
is
upset
fairly highly ranked, all things considered.
Yeah, like especially if you want to make the comparison with the men's team, for example, where New Zealand is like inexistent in the women's world, they are a bit more present. Like, you could kind of upset. And let's say you're Netherlands and you lose against New Zealand the first game.
I mean, it could happen. Sure, it depends how they play. I mean, I think if they play well, I would expect them to win. But
me too.
But that third game could be a very big game against Canada. Could decide the group.
I agree. Okay, so do you have some pronostic for the winner of the World Cup?
Oh, that's... You know what? That's actually a very difficult question, I think, because we have quite a few strong teams. As I was saying, like, the three teams that Alyssa just named, the States, Germany, and France, have to all be considered contenders, probably top three. But then I think we have some other very good nations this year that may surprise people. You know, like I've already mentioned, Italy and Spain and the Netherlands have all done really well in qualifying, all have talented players, and...
England is ranked quite highly these days.
England is supposed to be also one of the favorites with multiple talented players on their team as well. So it's really wide open, actually.
I think a lot
of it may depend on how the matchups fall down and then who's on form. Because I could see it going
Did you see the predictions article I sent you? It was 538 did their projections of who was going to win, which is a polling company in the States, which they're pretty good. They're not great. I mean, they gave Tottenham a 1% chance of getting to the Champions League final, so they're not perfect, but...
to be fair, I may have done that too.
We all would have done that, so it's not surprising, but their projections had France slightly higher than anybody, only because it's in France. They said, based on their model, if it hadn't been in France, it would be the States, but the spread for those top 10 teams that they're projecting is minuscule compared to, like, what they would do for a men's tournament or what they would say for the Champions League.
But even
basically,
the
what they're saying is that, like, all of the teams are good, and they can't really give you a strong prediction.
But that's nice, because that's a difference, because before that, it was going into there, and like, it was like, okay, the States are way overboard everyone, it's going to be easy for them, blah, blah. Now there's like a much more narrow gap between all the teams, which is going to make the competition so much more interesting.
Well, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It'll make for a much better tournament.
Basically, it's just a wide-open tournament, really.
Because
we've named seven teams that could do it. We wouldn't be surprised if any of those seven teams went and won it.
Totally agree, and that's one thing where...
Including Australia as well. I mean, if they bounce back, they're supposed to be a very strong team. They have one of the best players in the world. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see them go to the Final Four or even the Final as well. Yeah, there's a number of teams here who could do really well.
You have to bet now. It's time for you to decide.
Okay. Well, I don't want to go first.
I feel like we all have to pick a different team. So, whoever,
you can both choose and that'll narrow down my choice. That'll help me a little bit.
But we gotta figure out what we do. If one person gets it, what do they get? And if none of us get it, what collectively is our punishment? If none of us gets the right team.
Public shaming.
Public shaming?
I don't know.
How do you public shame?
How do you public shame all three of us, too?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a good question. It's a good question. Okay, so what does the winner want if we have a winner?
I think we should ask our audience to decide what would be our punishment.
Hey, Nessa, this is your chance.
Yes.
Well, that's not a bad idea. We have some time until the end, so we could definitely have our listeners come up with something hilarious.
So this is your time to shine. Let us know what would be our punishment if we don't get it right. So Elisa, you choose.
Why are you putting it on me first?
Why not?
Max, you choose.
Okay, so my favorite of the World Cup would be, and this really pains me to say that, it hurts my soul.
Oh, he's going France.
Yeah,
he's doing
for sure
it.
Yes, for sure.
He's going France.
I'm going with France, unfortunately.
So I respect that pick. For two reasons. Number one, I mean, we know that home advantage is huge in these tournaments. We've seen it with the men and the women. And also because I know that you're not making that pick easily. You would never.
Literally pains him.
You would
to
never
make it.
Choose France unless you actually believe that they had the best shot. So I respect that. I have to disagree though.
It's gonna hurt me so bad though if like from 1 year to the other, back to back, two French team win it.
Jonathan, who are you going for?
So I'm going to pick the final, actually.
Okay.
And I'm going to... I did, at the beginning of the tournament, think France was one of the top three teams. But after seeing their first game, and I know maybe it's just the first game and they're still gearing up, but I didn't quite see the dominant performance that I had wanted to see. So I'm going to say that Germany and the States are going to meet in the final.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick the two big guns. And I'm going to go with Germany as much as that pains me a little bit as well, because as you know, I am a fan of the U.S. women's team. Always, always very strong.
Is it the U.S. women's team or is it Alex Morgan?
It's both. Not equally, but it's both. But I don't know. I have a feeling like the Germans just, they were very impressive in qualifying, scoring goals like crazy. The U.S. team is definitely experienced, but not as young as they used to be. Maybe not at the top
their
of their game.
Their defense is
anymore.
Not good.
Their defense is a little bit makeshift, actually, because their left back is not a true left back. Now, she competes hard, and maybe that won't be an issue. But I don't know. I see the Germans as just getting stronger as this tournament goes on. And
I could see that.
And if they make it to the final, having a chance to win their third World Cup and tie the States, I think they'll have the advantage going into that game.
So is it coming home because you have an England jersey with you today?
Football's always coming home. Yeah, that's probably where I'm leaning. I mean, the obvious option is the States because neither of you picked them.
True, we put you in a very easy position.
Where I could just say America.
You could take the number one.
And like, they've won how many World Cups? It's a safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't want to choose the States because fuck the States.
So who are you choosing?
Maybe England. Of all the teams... England's not a bad shout.
Not at all. Not at all.
They have a good team.
Yep.
A lot of their players are good.
I can jump in with just a little bit of stats as well. They're the 2019 She Believes Cup winners.
Yeah, they are, because we do believe.
Yep. In qualifying, they scored 29 goals, conceding only one.
Yep.
They may be the only team to have only conceded one goal. I'm not sure about that, but it's the only one I came across. And then they're loaded with talent. Players like Beth Mead, Lucy Bronze, Nikita Paris. I think they are also going to have a very
They impressed
tournament.
Me today, this morning. I think they're going to be good, and I just don't want to pick the States. I was floating between France and the States, and I don't want to pick.
So if the reigning champion and the number one wins, we'll all have been incorrect, and we'll have to do something horribly embarrassing.
Yeah, or if a wild
Otherwise,
card
one
wins.
Of us is going to look very smart.
Yep.
And I'm opting for me, of course.
Aren't we all opting for ourselves?
It's unlikely, but, you know, you're in there somewhere.
But perfect, let's see about that. We'll see a little bit how it goes. Now just to move on a little bit on the outside of the Women World Cup world. Anything interesting happened this week? There's one, but
something
just...
very, very excellent happened this week.
I don't want to mention
not
that.
Not interesting maybe because we expected it, but
Hazard's
did
gone.
Sign for Madrid this week.
Hazard has left
he is
Chelsea.
No longer a Chelsea player. It's
hey Max, do you know who you don't have on your team anymore?
Hazard.
It's Hazard.
I'm dying inside.
I'm just wondering, Max, who next year now do you see scoring all these goals and setting up all these goals?
Because they have literally nobody now.
As you love to remind us of, that Hazard wasn't only scoring but was creating play, and that's why you said he was the best player in the Premier League because he did both.
What does Chelsea have now? Is it nothing, Max? I think it's nothing.
We're dead. We are definitely dead. We did sign Pulisic.
Yes.
Expecting him to leave.
Good young player that I like as a good young player. But, I mean,
We can't sign anything anyway for the two next... Mm-hmm. I don't know. Listen, like the only thing that I'm hoping is like we had a lot of hopes with Calum Hudson-Odoi. And he did a really good year with us. So I'm hoping that he can maybe step up. But he's still only 19. So...
You'll find out.
Listen, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I'm a bit... And
can't
also, Chelsea is so much in the unknown right now. Like,
Sarri
might leave. We are not sure exactly if we can make transfers or not. We don't know who's going to be our next coach. Hazard left. Maybe some other players are going to leave. Like, Kante, it's not entirely sure that he's going to stay either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a big unknown right now.
Yeah. I would not want to be a Chelsea fan.
No, that's okay.
Like, but specifically this year.
It's going to be a transition period.
I'm just going to remember that we won the Europa League.
Ooh.
Oh, baby.
Wow.
It's that sweet, sweet Europa League.
Celebrate that for the next 10 years.
So I'm going to stay on that. Speaking of, let's change subject right now.
Aww.
Oh, come on. This was so fun for us.
Speaking of Madrid, they also recruited Luka Jovic for sure. Now it's done.
Hmm.
It's a done deal.
Which I think was surprising to both of us because we were kind of expecting Icardi maybe would go there.
It wasn't that much of a surprise in the sense that it was in the talks a lot. But yes, if 6 months ago you had told me who was going to be the next striker, I think it would, for me, it would have been Icardi.
So what do you see happening with Icardi now? Because it looks like Inter wants to usher... Martinez in, very good young striker.
They're thinking of recruiting Lukaku.
Oh yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah,
there's actually big rumors about that. Is Kaku's leaving us? Yeah.
And so I don't know. I don't know where is he going.
Or maybe their plan is to start playing with more than one central striker.
Yes, or you will have an exchange Lukaku Icardi.
I actually wouldn't be against that so much as a United fan. I think Icardi is great.
Because it wouldn't be so bad.
Still need a midfield to pass him the ball, but you know.
United needs a lot of things right now.
It's true.
On the upside, we can buy players.
That's true.
Yeah, but you need to buy a whole team.
It's fine. We're the second richest club in the world still, Max.
That's true.
Record means nothing to our money making.
FIFA will allow us to buy a team right now, unlike some other clubs who are not.
Well, yes and no. You still have the financial fair play. You can't spend.
United makes a ton of money every year. They could spend hundreds of million if they wanted.
They're, you know what? I am still shocked that they're like the second highest grossing club. I think Real Madrid beat them this year. It may have been Real or Bayern. I can't remember.
Yeah,
I read the article briefly.
I think a lot of that is the Asian support they get.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous.
It's such a big brand. Manchester United is such a global brand.
They were the first to turn themselves into a brand as opposed to a team, and it really benefited them.
Yes, because now they haven't been in Champions League. I mean, they're not going to be in the Champions League this year. And they haven't had any good results in the last 4 or 5 years.
No.
And still, they have so much money. So it's really good. They did a very good job in that.
I mean, it's good in terms of helping them to bounce back and come out of the rut.
Yeah. Well, the thing
but
that
they
I've
have
been,
to make the right moves to make that
Do you remember
happen.
When I texted you and told you to watch that Sunderland show that I've been watching?
Mm-hmm.
It's on Netflix.
Yes, which I haven't watched yet.
That's fine.
I
it doesn't matter. That
I do remember it.
So, basically the entire premise of the show is that Sunderland got relegated. They're in this show, they're in the Champions League, but obviously they get relegated again.
Championship.
Yeah.
Not Champions League.
Championship. Yeah. Anyways, they're relegated. Whatever, it's fine. But one of the biggest problems is that they have no money. So, the reason that this documentary got made was because the owner of the club kind of wanted to sell the club and thought having a documentary would get the name of the club out there and it would bring in buyers. That's why they had permission to make this documentary, which is, they have a crazy amount of access to the club during this season. It's been fascinating to watch, but the club has no fucking money. They can't do anything because they can't afford to buy players. And they're just, it's right now, I'm episode 5, and they just lost their highest goal scorer because he was a loan player because they couldn't afford to buy anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just, it really highlights the things that you don't think about in terms of how much money you need to be competitive and how serious it is when you don't have any.
Yeah,
it's
a money game now, which is why I think even having one or two transfer window bans is a big impact on a club.
Yeah.
And that's what we're also talking, like, it's going to be the difference between Manchester United and Arsenal. It's how Manchester United have that big brand and a lot of money. Compared to Arsenal, if they don't make it to the Champions League,
they don't have the cash.
They don't have the cash.
And
they can't buy players.
They don't have the cash this year. We've talked about that already on this podcast.
Yeah,
they don't have the money this year.
And these sort of things tend to snowball. You don't do as well, and then the next season, perhaps you do even worse, and you become a mid-table team, and then all
Arsenal's
of a sudden,
gonna get like literally replaced by Wolves.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because Wolves have money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bizarre
and
to think about.
You have to be successful to generate money and grow your brand, and right now they're just not doing it. So it could possibly get worse for Arsenal.
It could become really bad.
I think it's only
going
to get worse for Arsenal, quite frankly.
If next year they don't manage to do anything, good luck with that.
Yeah, I think actually it shows how important that UEFA Cup final was for them.
Yep.
Getting them into the Champions League next year would have been a big help, just in terms of attracting players and then the revenue that you get from Champions League. Losing that final killed them. They have nothing now for next year,
which is so funny because like you don't think about it. You go on the field, you want to win a game, the players are there, they want to win a game of football, but now it's like, oh, you need to win this game of football to give us the money to keep going, please. Like, it's crazy that it's gotten to that. Anyways,
okay, just to finish off, there was the Nations League.
I literally didn't even know that this
Cup
was a competition
final. Yes.
So
I have not been following this either. So,
the only thing about that competition is that the winner of the competition is automatically qualified for the next European Championship. So it's like another way for a team to get into that.
I didn't even know that this thing existed until my dad texted me and was like, England's playing. I'm like, why?
Yeah. It's honestly UEFA that did that cup. I think it's just to generate more revenues. And
give them a goddamn break. These players are going from the end of the season to this League Cup, to preseason, to the next season. When do you take a freaking vacation?
Completely agree. The semifinals were interesting, though, because once again, Cristiano Ronaldo being Cristiano Ronaldo scored a hat-trick.
Literally on his own. His team were tied 1-1 in, what, the 85th minute? And he thought,
not today, boys. Not today. Let me get another two goals.
And the goals were not bad as well. It's not like if...
So he tapped him in. No. Exactly. He made those goals happen, and they were beautiful goals.
Beautiful goals.
Ronaldo is ridiculous.
So England finished third because they got knocked out by Holland. But then they won on penalties this morning.
Very rare for an English team, so give him that.
To win on penalties, that's true.
Very rare. We're quite proud of them.
And then right now, the Portugal is playing against the Netherlands. It's minute 78, and Portugal is winning 1-0.
And did Ronaldo score that goal?
No, actually, funny enough,
did
no.
Did he set it up?
Not even. No. Gonzalo Guedes scored.
My God.
Yeah. So.
What a shock. Genuinely a shock. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm genuinely shocked.
But they did score a goal against a pair Van Dijk De Ligt, which is pretty impressive.
May be a partnership at Liverpool next year, I'm hearing.
Yes, because weirdly, there has been a spike all of a sudden of the bookmakers saying that De Ligt would sign to Liverpool.
Interesting.
It's actually now the favorite to sign in. Mm-hmm. Usually when you have the spike like this all of a sudden, it usually means that someone has tipped them off.
Mm-hmm.
So if all of a sudden there's like that rumor going on, it means that there's a big chance.
I mean, it may be that he wants to play with his countryman Van Dijk, and I'm sure winning the Champions League didn't hurt.
Yeah, and that would be the best defense we might have ever seen.
I agree, because I mean, everyone knows about Van Dijk and how good he is, but their fullbacks have also been extremely impressive over the last year, generating a lot of their play, because the midfield is kind of a ball-winning midfield.
Yep.
Without that creative playmaker, and a lot of that comes from Robertson and
yep.
Alexander Arnold.
Completely agree.
So yeah, that back four would rival anyone.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. That would be the best signing ever. Even though Matip is not a bad partnership.
No, but it's an upgrade with De Ligt, especially being 19 and expecting him to continue to improve.
They basically have a pair for the next 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the best in the world.
Yeah, would be great news for Liverpool.
Really hoping he doesn't go there.
Really hoping he doesn't go there either. Alright, on that note, let's cheer for Canada tomorrow.
And
Christine Sinclair, who's approaching the all-time
four
scoring
goals
record.
Away.
Just 4 goals away from Abby Wambach. Not a bad player in her own right.
I want Christine Sinclair to take that.
Yeah, none of us, by the way, said that Canada was going to be the winner.
I don't think I can choose them. You know, they have a decently strong team, and Sinclair is still performing well, even at 35 years old. But I don't see them being one of the favorites. I think somewhere in the knockout stage, they'll come against a team that will play them.
All right, let's go Canada then, and we'll be back next week.
Canada always has the Winter Olympics.
It's true.
Yep.
We will win at hockey.
It's what we got, baby.
It's what we got.
Yeah.
See you, everyone.